The end of the year brings resolutions. For many, it includes the desire to stop smoking. But to succeed, it takes more than a New Year's resolution. It takes planning and preparation of one's environment and commitment. A white paper entitled Tobacco Addiction, What Do We Know and Where Do We Go? Has been developed by Dr. Charles Ells, psychiatrist who specializes in addiction at the University of Alberta Hospital in Edmonton, and it is designed to provide greater understanding of the quitting experience and why people fail in their attempts to quit smoking. And I'm pleased to introduce Dr. Charles Ells, Alberta Director of Physicians for Smoke-Free Canada. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I wanted to first ask, do we know how many people smoke in Canada?
Absolutely. We do have annual statistics that are collected to answer that question, and it's called the Canadian Tobacco Use Monitoring Survey, and they estimate on average in Canada about 19% of the population are smokers, and most provinces fall within about 5% of that 19%.
Do we know the age distribution of those smokers?
Absolutely. The CTOMS data that I've just cited, They do specify between different age groups what the actual prevalence of smoking is. And we do know that youth tend to be the highest smokers. Those between approximately ages, say, 15 to 18, 18 to 24, those would be the highest smokers in the general population. And as people get older, the smoking rates tend to drop down. And for elderly people, the smoking rates are even lower. And there may be a number of explanations for that.
What are some of the explanations?
Well, amongst others, we know that smoking on average will rob the smoker of approximately 10 to 15 years of his or her life. So we do know that a lot of smokers die prematurely as a consequence of smoking. And therefore, folks who die typically die in the most productive years of their lives. And inevitably, elderly populations have smoker or lower smoking rates because many of the smokers have already died, tragically so. And in that context, it's perhaps worthwhile mentioning that tobacco is the only legal consumer product that'll kill one out of two of its regular users, and inevitably people die of smoking, one out of two.
Turning to nicotine addiction, or the term that is used, what is the pathophysiology behind it? How does this actually work, and how does that compare to other drugs such as alcohol, opiate use, or even cocaine?
There's a lot of similarities, but also a number of differences between different kinds of addiction. We do know the concept or the phenomenon of addiction is a common disease, and it's a disease that's actually reminiscent of or indicative of changes that occur in the brain's function as well as the brain's structure on some level. So an individual who gets exposed to an addictive drug in a chronic fashion will undergo certain changes in the brain, and that's the basic underlying principle of addiction, namely exposure to an addictive compound and then changes that occur in the brain that renders the smoker or the user of a drug unable to say no or unable to quit using without putting in a lot of effort. With nicotine, we know that nicotine works on a very specific part of the brain called the reward pathway, and that happens to be exactly the same part of the brain as where many other highly addictive drugs work. And that part of the brain, the reward pathway, is also called the sweet spot or the mesolimbic dopaminergic system in the brain. And that simply speaks about a neuroanatomical part of the brain that works with a very specific neurochemical called dopamine. So what I've described now would be the similarities between different kinds of addiction. When you look at the differences between nicotine addiction and many of the other addictions like cocaine, heroin, crystal meth, there's actually, apart from these similarities, the differences mainly speak about the legal status of a particular drug. We know that tobacco and alcohol are both legal, whereas most of the street drugs are illegal. But when it comes to the actual changes that occur in the brain, these are remarkably similar across the classes of different drugs. We know on that front, we also know that nicotine in the form of tobacco smoked nicotine is considered as addictive as crystal meth, as addictive as injected heroin. So it's actually a myth to think that because tobacco and nicotine are commercially available and legal products, that they're not addictive and that they're not as dangerous and if not more dangerous than drugs like cocaine, heroin, and alcohol. We know that the similarities are vast, but the differences are mainly in the context of legal status.
So you'd likely see the same behavior in terms of procuring nicotine, for example, should it have been made illegal tomorrow and banned, you'd see people doing anything they could to try and procure that drug.
Absolutely. We've already noticed some aspect of that emerging, where tobacco prices are increased as a consequence of taxation, which is a favorable thing to do. We do see a black market emerging. And as you may be aware, a few months ago, the tobacco industry was found guilty for their involvement in the smuggling and the contraband issue. So there's no doubt that tobacco and tobacco addiction will take on the same features and characteristics as many of the other epidemics of, for example, illicit drugs. A lot of similarities. Again, it's a highly addictive drug, and people will do whatever they can to lay hands or to access this particular compound if it's not readily available.
We're in conversation with Dr. Charles Ells, Alberta Director of Physicians for a Smoke-Free Canada. And when we come back, we'll be discussing the aspects of the white paper entitled Tobacco Addictions, What Do We Know and Where Do We Go?, trying to get a good understanding of how people can approach smoking cessation, what they have to do, how they should prepare, what are the pitfalls, why do people fail, and get a comprehensive review of this so that you then have the tools and ability to access this information and as well succeed at stopping your resolution, as it were, to stop smoking. I'm Dr. Barry Dworkin. You're listening to Sunday House Call. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.